It is with the new Christian year, with the new season of the church, that the lectionary shifts its focus to the Gospel of Matthew. And as I've shared before, we will be looking quite a bit at the Gospel of Matthew in the year to come. Our scripture lesson today is from Matthew 2, verses 1 through 12. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." When they had heard the king, they went their way. And lo, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. This is the word of God. Let us pray. God of love, we come before you once again. Let us receive from you this day, through the word proclaimed, through the music song, through the baptism. Let us understand your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Happy New Year's. Can you believe it? Today's the first day of 2017. We are here and we are anticipating another year of life, another year full of opportunities and options. We are here after a season of Advent and Christmas where we celebrated the birth of the Christ child. We spent so much time in Advent preparing for Christmas, which prepares us now for the rest of the year. We have only to look at the lectionary, which is the assigned scriptures, and we are sort of shaken out of the joy of Christmas and set forth on a path and a journey to face the year to come. We have only to look at the lectionary and see some of the assigned scriptures. Last night, for example, at the Sabbath service, the scripture was about the separating of the sheep and the goats, those who receive the righteousness from God and those who rejected righteousness. A tough passage. And then we begin the story of Herod, the wise men, and all of that. And we come to see that in the delight of the story, we are disturbed by the fact that Herod was troubled that this baby was born. Herod and all of those in Jerusalem, as it says in Scripture, were troubled that the Christ was born. How could they be troubled? Scripture had been proclaiming for years the coming of the Messiah, the coming of salvation, the coming of peace, the coming of love that would live among them. And there were those who rejected God, who hated that news. Herod, in his anger, in his evil spiritness, was willing to put children to death in order to avoid having the Christ come and take his reign, his power, his position. Advent prepares us for life because Advent shares with us the power of God and the illumination of Christ, which prepares us for all that we have to come, all that is before us. It's sort of like on Christmas morning, for parents who offer gifts, when a child opens up a gift, and they see a toy or something that is incredibly interesting, and then there are those words on the package that mom or dad or Santa Claus did not anticipate, those words that say, batteries not included. The other thing about Christmas, those gifts that have a million pieces. Having daughters and not boys, I learned that Polly Pockets came in packages with Polly Pockets with a million little pieces. And fortunately for me, in those years when the girls were younger, Grandpa lived with us. And Grandpa was more patient than Dad. And Grandpa would sit down and take apart all those pieces so that they can be prepared then to play. Advent prepares us to understand that God is power, God is light, and God prepares us for that which is to come. Let me illustrate it this way. I was thinking of, in the world of baseball, I remember when I was younger and rooting for the Dodgers before I was converted to a Diamondback fan. But growing up rooting for the Dodgers, one of the opposing players on the San Francisco Giants was Gaylord Perry. And Gaylord Perry was like a lot of pitchers who did not bat very well. In fact, his coach, his manager, made a joke. He said, "A man will land on the moon before Gaylord Perry ever hits a home run." It was an hour before Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin stepped on the moon. An hour before that, Gaylord Perry hit a home run. This story shares two things. One is, Gaylord Perry had the power that was within him. He had not yet experienced that power until that day. And secondly, with the men landing on the moon, we have seen over the course of writings the faith of the various astronauts. And one astronaut I was reading said this. He wrote this. He said he lifted up the shield of his visor and was just looking at the constellations. He was looking at the vast array of stars and the magnitude of the solar system. And he said that what happened to him, he was overwhelmed by the magnitude of the darkness. He was overwhelmed by the immensity of what he was looking at. Darkness that was out there in space. And he wrote that what came to mind in the midst of all that darkness was God. That God was the source of light. And the verse came to mind for him. In him was life, and life was the light for all. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. For this astronaut, the light of God was the presence of hope, the presence of God with us. Last night at our Sabbath service, we read and heard excerpts from John Wesley's covenant service. And John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist movement, believed this, that once a year, at least once a year, people need to return to the roots of their faith and remember their first experiences with God, to have the joy of their salvation rekindled, or the sense of hope and love with God. Like that which we learned during Advent, that God is with us. Wesley taught that we need to reconnect with God. And Wesley did this. His covenant service, at first, he had it at different times of the year. And by the end of his life, he always had the covenant service as close to January 1 as possible. January 1 was for him a benchmark that all the people of faith must stop, remember how much God loves them, and that God is a source of power, that God is the illumination of light in preparation for the year to come. It's like that saying, batteries not included. God is the source of power. It's like looking at the stars and thinking, what a vast sense of darkness. Jesus is the life that is the light for all. And Wesley said, if we would reconnect with those things, then we could approach the new year, facing 2017. Reconnected to our source of faith. How does it work? There were wise men in the East who were educated people, learned people. They had available to them the writings of the day. They knew of the prophecies about the coming Messiah. They knew about the prophecies of the coming Christ. And they saw the star, and they followed the star. Knowing the prophecies of what they had studied, they followed the star looking for the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior, for the Jews. And they followed the star with one purpose, that they might come to the Messiah and worship him. Contrast that with Herod, the chief priest and scribes living in Jerusalem. They too were educated. They too had available the scriptures. But they were a part of the leadership and rulership of the people who saw that as a threat. And they had to look up the scripture. Herod said, find out for me, where is this Christ to be born? And the chief priests and scribes looked it up and they said, oh, in Bethlehem. What a difference between those who say, yes, I understand. The Lord is with me. I go to worship. Versus those who say, I have come to understand that this is a threat. Now the wise men came and they worshiped the Lord. They worshiped Jesus. They visited with Jesus and Mary. And then in a dream, they were instructed to go home and not return by way of Herod, and not to share with Herod. And they went home after a dream. It's interesting to me that during the course of Advent, one of the most interesting sermons that we heard was one that Pastor Sandy preached, and where she talked about Joseph and raised the question of Joseph's role in the whole Christmas story. But what happens next in our story, after the wise men had been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, we see Joseph, who himself had a dream, where an angel spoke to him in the dream, instructing him to leave and flee and go to Egypt, which was no small thing. To leave, to have this dream, to leave that very night, in the middle of the night, and to flee to Egypt, taking your wife and your baby and going to a foreign country where there's a different culture and they speak a different language. Joseph was obedient. Previously, Joseph, when he was considering breaking off in his engagement with Mary, had a dream. And in his dream, the angel spoke to him and said, "No, this is of God." And Joseph was obedient in his dream. While in Egypt, after a number of years, Joseph had another dream where the angel spoke to him in the dream, and Joseph then responded to that dream and returned back to Israel, where he had another dream. Where Joseph heard, because of Herod's son taking rulership following after the death of Herod, that Joseph was to settle not previous, as previously in Bethlehem but or Jerusalem, but to go to Galilee. Joseph's role? Obedience. The Lord spoke to him, and he obeyed. There are other principal characters of the Christmas story. But it's only in Joseph that I truly get a sense of learning about obedience and God's ways. Joseph was instructed in dreams. We are to be a people that with God, with the power of God, with the illumination of God, we can face this year. And with God, we can dream God's dreams. We as a church and we as individuals can say, "Lord, what would you have for this year?" Marcel Proust once said, "If a little dreaming is dangerous, the cure for it is not to dream less, but to dream more, to dream all the time." Let us be a people of faith that dream according to what God is leading us and showing us and preparing us to do. Albert Schweitzer, that great theologian and missionary, musician, among other things, said this: "The important thing is that we learn to have light in ourselves. The important thing is that we learn to have light in ourselves." The batteries included. The powers of God. God with us. The light that cannot be overcome by darkness, is for us a beacon. And what is a beacon? A beacon is a source of light that shines in the darkness. Our call as a church in 2017 is to be a beacon of light as individuals, and as a church. In a world that has too much darkness, there is a need for that light. Let the light of Christ, let the light of Christmas soak in. Let us share our faith and let the world know that the gift of Jesus, the birth of the Messiah, is the reality that sets us forth to be the light of God in the world. Amen. I would like to invite us now to cement that with the receiving of communion today. So invite Steve and Sandy to take their place. Let us prepare our hearts for that which Jesus said to do and to do often as a reminder of what he is for us in our lives these days.